So if you were in the first service, you know already, but let me let everyone know who's fresh to the second service. We have a guest speaker with us today. And this, yeah, exactly. And this guest speaker is so special because she's all the way from down under. She's all the way from Aussie, from Australia, mate. And so I'm real excited. I was telling the first service, we have a guest speaker normally who comes at least once a year, Pastor Armstrong, and he has a real heavy accent because he's from Ghana, Africa. And so a lot of the time for us English speakers, we're like trying to make it out. She's a way easier to understand her accent. So don't worry. I heard her in the first service. She's going to do a great job. And I also told the youth this week, I said, hey, if you don't even want to come for the word of God, which you are going to hear a great word from her, you're going to hear the word of God, at least come to hear her cool accent, because she's going to speak for 30 minutes and it's always real good to hear. I love accents. And the crazy thing, I was telling Mark this, the usher, it's crazy to think that we have an accent to her. To her, I have an accent right now, huh? What the heck? No, I don't. But anyway, so I love that. Pastor Layla, she heads up a college ministry in Australia, in Adelaide. And so she's just a phenomenal woman of God as far as her power that she brings. She's cute and little and petite, but she has a big fire in her because she's filled with the Holy Spirit and she knows how to preach a real good word. So with that, can we please give an honoring hand clap to Pastor Layla as she comes up to the front?
Awesome. Thank you, Hope Community Church. How are you going this morning? Good. It's so good to be here. I was saying to the first service this morning, this is my first time preaching in the United States of America. Isn't that awesome? And what better church to be preaching at than here this morning? It's honestly such an honor to be with you guys. And I just wanted to honor your incredible pastors and the whole Cohen family for hosting me and for building an amazing church here in this area. Are you thankful for your pastors this morning? Aren't they just awesome? Just getting to spend some time with them this morning is just incredible to see just their heart for this church and this community and for God to touch this area with revival. And I truly believe that God wants us to do something awesome here. My name's Layla. I'm a pastor from Adelaide, as Shayla said already. I'm on the team with Pastor David and Donna Hall in Adelaide, a church called Life Point Church, and God's doing great things there. I've been on the team for about 10 years now, so just turned 30 the other day. Sometimes people are like, sometimes people are like, why are they letting an 18-year-old preach? I'm older. I'm 30 years old. From Australia. I come from the land down under. And as Shayla said this morning, you guys definitely have an accent to me. I know that I have an accent to you, and I hope that you can understand what I'm saying today. But you have an accent to me. And I did this with the first service. I thought, let's say awesome, because Aussies say awesome. Awesome, very differently. Can you say awesome? Awesome? Awesome. And now I'll try and say it like an American. Awesome. 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 That's awesome. That's awesome. Very good. So usually when I meet people for the first time, my name's Layla Nahavandi. So usually what happens is if anyone's over the age of about 40 years old, they'll usually start singing to me. So they'll start singing the old Eric Clapton song, Layla, if there's any music fans in the place. Well done. Usually people like, so where are you from? Because you've got an Australian accent, but nothing about you is Australian. And that's because my dad is Persian. My mum is Irish. I was born in England, grew up in New Zealand, and then have spent most of my life in Australia. So I'm really from around the world. And a family dinner at our house is like a gathering of the United Nations with people seated that would never be found on the same table. So, that's where I'm from. And my family got saved when I was about 5 years old. My dad was from a Muslim background. My mum had converted to Islam to marry dad. And they got radically saved in the 90s in a church in New Zealand. So praise God for that, which is awesome. And I've been blessed to grow up in the church ever since, which is incredible. I'd love to share a word with you this morning from John chapter 11. So if you've got your Bibles, if you could turn with me to John chapter 11 and verse 1, that would be awesome. Awesome. That would be awesome. Awesome. All right. John chapter 11 and verse 1, it says this. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Jumping down to verse 21, it says this. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Amen. Verse 43, it says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Hope Community Church, can we bow our heads and pray over the word this morning? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that our faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so this morning as your word goes out, I pray, Lord God, that faith would begin to rise in every single one of our hearts for what it is that you want to do in our hearts and lives today. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your power to change things in just a moment of time. And God, we ask that you would anoint this word as it goes out. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Awesome. So my message this morning is called, He's Working On It. He's Working On It. Why don't you touch the person next to you and say, He's Working On It. He's Working On It. He's Working On It. Amen at work. Turn to the person on the other side and say, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Awesome. So, don't touch me. He's working on it. He's working on it. So, this passage of scripture, it begins by saying that there was a man named Lazarus who was sick. And he was sick in a place named Bethany. He lived in a place named Bethany. He came from a place named Bethany. And in the Hebrew language, when a word starts with the word Beth, and add something to the end of it, that Beth means house or place of, the house of. And so when you see Bethlehem, it literally means house of bread. When you see Bethel, it literally means house of God. And when you see Bethany in this passage of scripture, it translated means house of affliction or place of affliction. And so we find Lazarus and Mary and Martha in a place of affliction. We find them in a place of pain. We find them in a time in their lives when they've got a problem going on, and they need Jesus to come and meet them in their place of pain. They need Jesus to come and meet them in their place of affliction. See, Mary and Martha and Lazarus had a problem, which is interesting because Mary and Martha and Lazarus were actually closer to Jesus than almost anyone. They were some of Jesus' closest friends. So when Jesus would travel to this area, he would go and he would stay with them and he would hang out with them and he would eat with them and, you know, just spend time with them. These are the people that he loves and he trusts and he knows. And it was interesting to me that reading through this passage, it's these people that have a problem. You see, often we can think, hey, if I love Jesus and I know Jesus and I'm close with Jesus, then my life will be all, you know, rainbows and lollipops and roses and I won't have any problems. Why would I have problems if I know Jesus and I'm so close with Jesus? But we find these people who are closer to Jesus than almost anyone else, and they've also got problems. Because the Bible tells us that in this world you will have trouble and in this world you will have problems, but what? Take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. So they had a problem, and maybe you're going through problems today. Maybe you're facing afflictions today. Maybe you're going through a challenge today. I would encourage you not to see it as the judgment and the condemnation of God, not to see it as something that God is using to hurt you or to break you, but see it for what it is, an opportunity for God to move in power in your life. See, problems are not indicative of the absence of His presence. Problems are not indicative of the absence of His purpose. And problems are not indicative of the absence of His power. Problems are an opportunity for God to come and move in our midst. So Jesus comes. The Bible says that Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick and dying. And the message gets to Jesus. And people come and they're like, Lazarus is sick. And the Bible tells us that Jesus doesn't do anything. He doesn't say any. He doesn't send a message back to Lazarus. All he does is he stays in the same place for 2 days. The Bible says he received the word and he stayed in the same place for 2 days. He stayed in the same place for 2 days. I don't know about you, but maybe you're like me and you have a weird concept of time. I feel like I'm always running late for things. Poor Shayla had to wait for me to come to church this morning. And I'm just running late. I don't know what time I'm on. I don't know what culture I'm a part of. You know, I'm very mixed race, so I'll blame it on all of them. You know, I'm on some sort of weirdo time. But I always find it difficult to get places on time. I have to be very disciplined to make myself get places on time. And sometimes I'll find myself with like 5 minutes to get to somewhere that's half an hour away. I'm like, oh no, I better text the person, let them know I'm on my way, I'm coming. But sometimes, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching the next episode of The Bachelor and you're eating your Doritos and your M&Ms. You're like, I'm on my way. But you're sitting there in your dressing gown. Confessions here at Hope Community Church this morning. But Jesus didn't even pull one of those ones. Jesus didn't even send them a message to say, I'm on my way. All Jesus did in this moment was he turned to the disciples and he says, this will not end in death. This will not end in death. In other words, he said, I'm working on it. Do you know what? In that period of 2 days, it seems that Lazarus actually passed away. Lazarus had died. So it looked like Jesus' timing was off. It looked like Jesus' timing was out. It looked like he had been delayed. It looked like he hadn't got the timing right. But how many know that Jesus is always on time? He is never delayed. He doesn't have a time problem. If it seems like he is late in the midst of your situation today, you can know that he is working on it. He is working on it. He is working on it. And he is always right on time. The Bible tells us that many people made their way to Bethany. And they made their way to Bethany to come and to console Mary and Martha. They just lost their brother. And so they came to console them. And so people were coming, and it could have looked like Jesus was just coming with the disciples to come and console their friend. Like Jesus was making his way to Bethany and he's walking to Bethany, and you know, the disciples and the people around could have thought, you know, he's just making his way to come and console like everybody else is. And sometimes in our world today, you know, people will look at Christians and people who follow Jesus, people who believe in Jesus, and they'll say, you know, you just believe in Jesus because you need a crutch to lean on. You need something to comfort you. You need something to console you. But how many know that Jesus is not just a crutch for the weak? Jesus is not just someone to console us. When Jesus comes to our situation and he comes into the midst of our circumstance, he doesn't just come to comfort us or to console us. Jesus comes to move in power. Jesus comes to change atmospheres. Jesus comes to shift things and to bring miracle working power into our midst. And so Jesus was coming their way. And he was coming to move. While Lazarus had been waiting, Jesus was working. While Martha had been wondering what was going on, Jesus was working. And while Mary was weeping, Jesus was working. Jesus was at work. And he was not just at work in working on a miracle. He was also working at revealing himself. He wasn't just at work at doing something, but he was also at work in revealing someone. What do I mean by that? When the Bible shares miracles and it talks about miracles, in the midst of miracles, God is not only doing the miracle, but he's also revealing his character, revealing himself, revealing his plan and his purpose. And so I would love this morning if we can have a look at three things that God was revealing about himself, three things Jesus was revealing about himself in the midst of this miracle. In the midst of this miracle, the first thing he revealed was to Martha. And to Martha, Jesus revealed his purpose. To Martha, Jesus revealed his purpose. In John chapter 11, verse 20, it says this, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you.'" So Martha comes to Jesus and she says, "Jesus, I'm in the midst of discouragement, disappointment. I don't know why you've shown up late. I know that you could have healed him. I know that you should have healed him. I know that you would have healed him. But even now, I believe. Even now, I still believe in you. Even now, I still trust you." Is there anybody in this place this morning who maybe you've walked through a valley, maybe you've walked through a challenge, but you say, "God, even now, I believe. I'm still standing on your word. I'm still standing on your promises. I'm still standing on your faithfulness because I know that you're a good God." Martha came to Jesus with that heart and she said, "God, I know. Even now I believe. And in verse 23, it said, "Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again on the last day, at the resurrection.' But Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And she said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.'" So Martha had a concept of the purpose of Jesus. She had a concept that Jesus had a purpose to raise the dead on the last day. She knew that at the end times that Jesus would raise the dead. She knew that he had a purpose to raise the dead on the last day. But what she didn't realize that Jesus actually had a purpose to raise the dead today. That Jesus had a purpose to work in miracle working power, not just on that day, but he had a purpose to work in miracle working power on this day, today. And when he revealed his purpose to her, it changed the way that she believed. Do you know what? This morning, I believe that Jesus wants to reveal his purpose to us, that his purpose is not just to move in miracle working power one day when we get to heaven. It's not just for us to survive our way through life, to barely get by, to worry and stress and live in sickness and disease. No, Jesus wants to move in power today. Can I get an amen at Hope Community Church this morning? Amen. 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 So when we have a revelation of the purpose of Jesus, it'll change the way that we believe. It'll change the way that we believe. The second thing that Jesus revealed is he revealed his presence to Mary. To Mary, he revealed his presence. In verse 32, it says this, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' Then they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept." Mary had an encounter with the presence of Jesus that brought her closer to him than she'd ever been before. And as she got close to Jesus, she encountered the presence of Jesus in a whole new way. Now, I was sharing with the first service this morning that I'd just been to India. So a few weeks ago, I was in India for the very first time in my whole life. And my best friend was getting married in India. She's married a pastor over there and she's living in India. And at this wedding, they had 2,000 guests. How many would like to have 2,000 guests at your wedding? It sounds like a nightmare to me. So they had 2,000 guests. Yeah. 2,000 guests at this wedding. And, everybody's packed into this one small room and it's very hot, the hottest season of the year. And we're wearing our saris and there's people. And I was part of the bridal party. So we're on the stage and you actually have to sit on the stage for hours as every single person in the wedding comes and greets you on the stage and takes photos with the bride and groom. So we're sitting on the stage for 5 hours as everyone's coming up and they've got a few communal bottle of Cokes that they're sharing around. I'm like, I don't want to drink a Coke bottle of Coke that everyone else has drank out of. That's disgusting. So I had no drink and I sort of felt like the Apostle Paul, you know, like shipwrecked. No, I'm joking. It wasn't a trial or tribulation. But I was sitting there on stage and I realized that when you're in the midst of this many people and when you're getting close, you're getting so much closer to this many people, you know their presence in a whole new way. Like how many know you can smell them like you didn't want to smell them? There's sweat that's touching you, other people's sweat that you didn't want to get anywhere close to you, and you're starting to hear them and see them in a way that you haven't encountered before. Why? Because their presence is so close. And in the same way, when Jesus came and he wept with Mary and he came and he got down on her level, he got closer to her than she had ever known before. And it actually changed the way that she worshipped. You see, because in the first part of this passage, it tells us that this is the same Mary who poured out perfume on Jesus' feet and anointed him and wiped his feet with her hair. She worshipped extravagantly. It's the same Mary who only a few chapters before had sat at the feet of Jesus and worshipped him in that way, sitting at his feet. So we see that she goes from just sitting at the feet of Jesus to worshipping in a far more extravagant way, to pouring out everything that she has for Jesus. Why? Because she had a revelation of his presence. Church, I believe that when we have a revelation of the presence of Jesus, it will change the way that we worship. We can't just sit down anymore. We have to give him everything. We have to pour out our heart, pour out our lives to him. We're willing to lay down everything for him when we have a revelation of his presence. So Mary had a revelation of his presence. And the third and final thing, maybe if the keyboard player could join me, the third and final thing that Jesus revealed to these people on this day was that he revealed his power to Lazarus. To Lazarus he revealed his power. In verse 40 it says, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." You know, in this moment, Lazarus comes into contact with the miracle-working power of God. I wonder what it would have felt like in that tomb as he opened his eyes and saw the grave clothes that had wrapped him. I wonder what it felt like as he heard the voice of Jesus calling him out of his place of death. I wonder what thoughts would have been running through his mind, thinking, hey, I was dead and now I'm alive again. What's going on? I thought that Jesus was going to heal me. I thought that it was too late for me. I thought that it was all over, but now I'm coming back to life. I wonder what was going through his mind. I wonder what was going through his body. I wonder what he was thinking. The Bible tells us that Lazarus, just from him walking around and talking to people, just from him going about his daily life, many people got saved. Thousands upon thousands of people were getting saved because of the testimony of what God had done in Lazarus's life. See, when we have an encounter with the power of God, when we have a revelation of the power of God, it actually changes the way that we live and it begins to impact the world around us. Church, today I believe in this room that God wants us to encounter the power of God in a whole new way. I believe that God wants us to encounter his power, and I believe that he wants it to change the way that we live. I believe that God has a plan for Los Angeles. I believe that God has a plan for this area. I believe that God wants to use us to take the power of the living God to the world around and about us. Does anybody believe that? That God has a plan and a purpose to reveal himself. You know, it's It's been incredible. I've been in India and then Singapore just before I was here in the States, and I've seen miracles. I've seen God do incredible things in those countries, but I believe that God doesn't just want to do miracles in India or in Singapore or in Africa, but God wants to move in miracle working power in the United States of America. Does anybody believe? Come on, where is the miracle working power that we saw in Amy Semple McPherson, in Smith Wigglesworth, in the revivalists of the past? I believe that God wants to move in great power in our midst today, and I believe that God has miracle working power for us. When we have a revelation of the power of God, it changes the way that we live. I don't know if you know Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, incredible man of God, a great preacher, and he just released a movie recently called Breakthrough. You might have seen it yourself at the cinemas. And in this movie, basically what happens is it's the story of a young man named John Smith and some of his friends, and they're walking on a lake in Missouri and in St. Louis, and they're on this frozen lake, and him and his friends, they fall in to this lake under the ice. And it's a dire sort of situation. Two of the boys get pulled out, but they just couldn't get this young man named John out. And so they're trying to get him out. They eventually get him out. He had been under the ice for 15 minutes. And they get him out onto the side of the lake, and they're trying to revive him. They try to revive him for 27 minutes, still no signs of life, no pulse. So they rush him to the hospital. 45 minutes goes by. They've been trying to revive him, trying to see some signs of life. Nothing has changed. Nothing is different. And so they call in his mother. His mother is a woman of God. His mother's a woman of faith, a believer. And she grabs hold of her son and she starts to pray and she starts to declare over his body, Holy Spirit, let him live and not die. Holy Spirit, let him live and not die. She starts to pray over her son. And all of a sudden, the doctors say that life came back to this young man's body. He had been dead for 45 minutes. And all of a sudden, he comes back to life. He comes back to life, and he has no, the doctors say, if you read the write-up in the papers and everything like that, the reports, it says Dr. Jeremy Garrett told the station, still doctors remain baffled by that his brain function was preserved. Dr. Garrett said that John's recovery remains like nothing he has ever seen before. It is a bona fide miracle. Can we give God some praise for his miracle working power? You know what? That just stirs my faith, because it shows that the miracle working power of Jesus was not just at work at the tomb of Lazarus on that day. The miracle working power of Jesus was not just at work at the tomb of Jesus when he was raised from the dead. The Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that power of the Holy Spirit, is at work on the inside of every believer in this place today. The power of God, the anointing of God, the power of God is present to heal and set free and move and save in this place. And so what God did on that day, he can do today. He can do on this day. Church, can we stand to our feet and close our eyes and bow our heads just for one moment? You might be in this room this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you have and you've walked away from God. So this morning you feel distance from God. You know that there's not peace between you and God, and you know that if you were to die tonight, you don't know whether or not you would go to heaven or hell. I want to let you know today that the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us in our own ability, in our own works, by our own means, is able to attain heaven. Not one of us is able to gain heaven by our own means or by our own good works. Not one of us is able to be in relationship with a holy and perfect God in our imperfection. And so the Bible says that to deal with this problem of sin, to deal with this problem of separation from God, that Jesus came and he made a way for us to be reconciled to him. The Bible tells us that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He died a brutal and bloody death on a cross. And when he died that death on the cross, he was dying in my place and dying in your place, so that our imperfection could be covered by his perfect sacrifice. You might be in this place today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never accepted his free gift of salvation. You've never turned away from living life on your own and doing things your own way and struggling to survive on your own. And this morning, Jesus would invite you into his open arms to say, come, trust me to lead you, to guide you into the life that I have for you, to save you, to set you free, to redeem you. If you're in this place this morning, maybe you've walked away from God or you never invited Jesus into your life. You've never started a relationship with him. On the count of three, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to invite us just to lift up our hands. If that's you and you want to respond to this message of the gospel, you want to give your life to Jesus today, we're going to pray a prayer with you. One, two, three. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome, I see that hand. Anybody else in this place today? It's the best decision that you could ever make. Awesome, I see those hands down the back. Anybody else? When Jesus came into my life and the life of my family, I know everything was turned around. I know my life has never been the same. Awesome, I see that hand in the middle. Anybody else, you want to give your life to Jesus this morning? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Church, can we repeat this prayer after me? And those who have lifted your hands, if you can pray this from your heart directly to God. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning, I thank you for dying on a cross for me to save me from my sin and everything that I've done wrong. This morning, I ask you to forgive me, to wash away my sin, and to help me to live for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise for all of these guys responding? Welcome to the family of God, amen? Welcome to the family of God. The best decision we could ever make. Awesome, awesome. It's the greatest miracle that we could ever experience is that miracle of salvation, a miracle of salvation. But you know what? I believe that the miracle working power of God is in this place this morning. I had an awesome time just chatting with people and praying for people after the last service. And I noticed that so many people were going through different sicknesses and different challenges. And you might be in this room this morning and maybe you, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, you found yourself in a place of affliction. You're going through a challenge. You're going through a problem today. I believe that God wants to meet you in your place of affliction. I believe that the miracle working power of God is for you today. I believe that he doesn't want you to struggle through life. He doesn't want you to struggle through your sickness, but he wants to move in great power in your situation. So what we're going to do is we're just going to worship God together. If you're in the congregation, you just want to lift up your hands and just worship God. But if you need some prayer this morning, we're going to invite you to the front and invite you to the altar. And we've got the ministry team that's going to pray over you this morning. Awesome. Church, can we just lift up our hands? If that's you, why don't you come to the front if you want prayer? Thank you, Holy Spirit.